Good evening. Welcome to Jazz Vespers in Lent. And we have here, I have here next to me, I have here next to me very active students from San Jose State Canterbury Bridge, which is the organization that Kathy works with. These are students, these are her people. And so we wanted them here with us. And they can come over and have chili, too, with us. But if you can't see them now, you can come and take a look at their faces and let them look at you, too. So I'm Mary Souza, parishioner at St. Jude's. And we are very happy to have this evening for our meditation, Reverend Kathleen Crow, who is a deacon in our diocese. She's the chaplain at San Jose State University for Canterbury Foundation. And the free will offering today will go to Canterbury Foundation. In the past, we've split it with musicians, but we actually pay the musicians from a different budget now. Good job, Scott. So your donation will go to Canterbury Foundation to support this amazing work for homeless students at San Jose State University. And we're glad to have Mason and his friends, and he'll introduce them at some point that he deems appropriate. But thank you all for being here tonight. I know it's a big thing to take the time and do that and come and play for us, and we absolutely appreciate it. So we have some prayers, we have some music, Kathy will do a meditation, and some more music and a few prayers, and then we have chili and cornbread afterwards, so please stay and join us. God dwells in you.
And dwells also in you.
Let us pray. Loving God of all that is, help us to be still. Loosen our grip on our cares and concerns. Clear away all stresses and frustrations. Quiet our busy minds. Open a space deep within us. Fill us with your grace. Help us to see all you have made as holy, the earth and people as sacred. Help us to live our lives with you at the center. Guide us, encourage us, resource us to articulate your kingdom in partnership with those who differ most from us. Surround us with your love that casts out fear. Fill us with your hope for the world as it might be. Amen. And Kathy has given us a poem that several will read in several voices, prefaced by the passage from Luke. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." The conies had their hiding place. The wily fox, with stealthy tread, a covert found. But Christ the Lord had not a place to lay his head.
The eagle had an eerie home. The blithesome bird its quiet rest, but not the humblest spot on earth was by the Son of God possessed.
Princes and kings.
reading from the book of Matthew.
We got another.
I'm sorry.
Is that okay?
You want it?
That's easy. Is that all right?
You're going to do two? Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you.
That's sorry.
It's all a work in progress.
Improvising.
Right.
No, but I do want to take a quick moment to introduce the band as well. So have a couple of Jazz Vespers veterans here. On piano, my good friend Ben Rothman. Give him a hand. And Danny Gers on bass. Playing with us for the first time is, I think, one of the finest musicians in the Bay Area, and probably on the West Coast, and maybe in the galaxy, I don't know. Just a beautiful trumpet player, my friend John Worley. That first one was, were you there?
And you are.
Oh yeah, me, I'm Mason. Hello. That was, were you there? That was my arrangement of that spiritual, and now we're going to play a Duke Ellington tune that John brought in. This is called Phantasm. One, two, one, two,
thank you.
A reading from the Book of Matthew. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Now it's on. I'll say that again. Can't say too much. What an honor and a joy it is to be with you tonight and to talk about a subject that is very dear to me and the center of my life. I think somebody said it. I think it was Laura's son who said it about her grandson, put a nickel in him and he'll start to perform, and it's the same with me. Put a nickel in me and I'll start talking about students and the work that I do. And Mary, I just don't know how to thank you for this picture. It moves me to tears. I'm sitting here during the reading of Matthew looking at those faces and thinking about the great privilege it is to serve each and every one of these. I'm going to just go a little bit away from my prepared message to say this student graduated. We were having a celebration that night for him. This one just graduated and got a job at San Jose State, bursting, popping my buttons, proud of them. This one is a graduate student. Two more semesters. Couple more semesters and one more semester or two maybe for this one, all of whom the foundation through the generosity and the open hearts of so many of you have made possible. And so I truly am, as I tell them, I am the conduit of your love and your goodness, and I can't think of a greater privilege. What I am calling tonight for my homily and my meditation with you is standing in the gap with our hand in the world and the other hand in the kingdom of God. So the right people to be standing with me tonight. Thank you. I want to begin the prepared portion by sharing a story I read last week, and the writer recounts being in Israel, actually an Israeli school, and seeing the buses come in with children and their mothers on them, and everybody's getting off the bus, and the fathers are lined up with cars waiting for their families, and those children get off the bus, and they see their dad waiting, and they run toward them crying, Abba, Abba, and he said what a touching experience it was for him to hear the word Abba with that much love and affection. And a beautiful silhouette it must have been against the setting desert sun. And so immediately the Lord's Prayer comes to my mind, and part of the liturgy that the deacons of the church are privileged to proclaim, to invite during the Eucharist. And sometimes one that we say so routinely, we forget the power of that prayer, don't we? And so now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray, Our Father. Okay. And in the translation of the Aramaic or the Hebrew, it is Abba, or the Greek, I'm sorry, Abba. That same prayer that those children got off the bus running toward a beloved parent. Those two words that are a powerful prayer by themselves alone, when rightly said and understood. And then Jesus went on to teach, and holy or hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I think for so many years when I prayed that prayer, I felt as if I were pleading with God. I think now, sometimes in my life more than ever, God, please bring your kingdom to earth. You know, please help us. Please help the suffering that we see around us to go away. And finally realizing whose responsibility is that? Is it God's or is it mine? And then, as I live more into that contemplation, it's a partnership between God the Father through Jesus Christ and me and you and you. And it is our job then to hold the tension between what is just and good and what is unjust and oppressive, and to do something about it. And I finally understood that, and it was a revelation to me. And nowhere has this awareness become more apparent than in my work with these young people at San Jose State. I'm just going to give you a statistic that's hard to verify, but we believe that out of the 35,000 students we have on that campus, about 10% of them are housing insecure, and either live in their cars or camp out on somebody's couch. And so I'm able to do something that is rather a small portion of that. I have 10 students in my residence, full now, and two more out in the community, because I'm trying to build host families in Negley Park and around the campus. I have two families now and a possible third where students live at no cost to them. Each student, each one with a unique story where I could write a chapter on that particular life. And so I felt that what maybe can be called righteous anger, but it's the fuel that spurs us into action. If that's love in action, what can I do to make a difference? And I believe it was the Spirit of God that stirred up that compassion. It's not some sentimental, oh, ain't it awful, or hand-wringing, but actually compassion, which again is translated from the Greek as gut-wrenching compassion, to do something about it. And I really had that happen to me. So I stand in the gap with each of these young people with wide ethnic demographic, as you can see, all of whom are first-generation students, no one in their families having gone to university before them. I have many stories, as I said, that I could tell tonight, many, but I chose one that will probably highlight my ministry of standing in the gap with someone, standing beside them, not coming in, I'm a do-gooder, I'm going to save the day. You know, it's not like that. It's standing beside someone and investing in their life, because you know that that life is going to pay great dividends that will ripple out for years to come, each and every life. And this student, and I'm just going to call the student Cecilia, I'm not going to use her real name, but she was the first again in her family to achieve a college or try to achieve a college degree, and she had no support from that family at all. In fact, they tried to deter her. And an older brother, especially abusive, and this is very true, sexually assaulted her. Things get worse. To add to the complexity, she was also DACA. You probably know that term, deferred action. of childhood arrivals. The brother wanted her to stay in the home and work for the support of the family, and that included an aging mother, sisters in domestic service, and young cousins. And my friend wanted to earn a degree so that she could improve her life, and as Latino families do, improve the life of those close to her. And so she was referred to me, escaping this abusive situation, by the counseling center at San Jose State. I talked to her, a very beaten down, quiet, shy young woman who couldn't look me in the eye. She said to me, and I can't forget that, I am hopeless and I'm useless. And I said, you know, I'm going to change those two words for you today, because you've made it to your junior year under absolutely appalling circumstances. So how about courageous and persevering? How about we do that? And so she was with me for about 2 months when a host family called me on 6th Street, beautiful old Victorian. I had been praying for a Victorian to get back the Canterbury house that we no longer have on campus. I thought, Lord, in your abundance, you know, you've got cattle on a thousand hills. How about you give me the Canterbury house back? Because I know you can do it, and I can house maybe double, you know, what I'm able to do in this wonderful partnership I have at Grace Baptist. But I'd love to have that if it's in your scheme for me. So I thought, well, I'm going to do a drive-by on this host family and see where they live. Well, guess what they live in? You know, one of the beautiful old Victorian. And I thought, oh gosh, maybe they'll adopt me too. So I went in there and met with them, and now they become very dear friends of mine and partners in my ministry. And they gave this student a wonderful room on the second floor. And I thought, how beautiful, because now she can raise her vision, you know, on what life can be like for her. So she came to me one day and said, Kathy, I want to do something for you. And I had all of this data entry that I just can't get around to, all these emails I had to put in my system. And I said, oh, wow, do I have something you can do for me? And so she was going to come in a couple days and do it. And I didn't hear from her, and I didn't hear from her. And I thought, that's not like her. And pretty soon the host family called and said, have you seen Cecilia? Well, we don't know where she is. I said, no. And she was supposed to do something for me too. I don't know where she is. And so I called her emergency contact number, because I keep all that on my intake form. And this young girl picked up the phone, and I said, I'm the Reverend Kathleen Crow. I'm the chaplain at San Jose State, and your cousin has put you down as emergency contact, and I don't know where she is. And she said to me, well, she's been arrested, and I can't tell you why. Well, I said, that's all right. You don't have to tell me why. I'll find out. And so I called the booking sergeant. You know, it's amazing what you can do when you get revved up. But you have the courage. I called down there and I said, okay, I want to know why this person has been arrested. And the booking officer told me. Well, anyway, lots more goes on. And I finally got in through, I think Liz was here to speak to you. Yeah, she got me in so that I could go in and visit my student through the glass. We had to talk to each other. It was just so hard to see that. And I just couldn't believe that the charges against her were true. I did not believe it. And yet I knew I was biased, and so I was praying for God's truth. I thought, if she really did that, then, you know, she needs to be accountable. But I couldn't believe it. All right. 4 months, fast forward. I'm going down to the detention center. We're going to hearings. And we finally get to the final hearing, the preliminary hearing, when the accuser was put on the stand, a young boy who said that she had assaulted him. And he's this big old guy, and she's a little tiny girl. I thought, what? You know, how's that roll out? At any rate, I thought, this just cannot be true. And I said that to the public defender in the hallway outside the courtroom. And he can't talk to me. He said, I know. Just don't give up on her. And I said, there's no way we're doing that. And so one night, I'm sitting at home. I get a call from the public defender. He said, can you go down and get her now? They're going to release her. All charges have been dropped. The kid said that he had lied, and he did it because a family member put him up to it. Once again, keep her out of school. Okay. We were able to stand in the gap by making sure that she didn't get thrown out of school in those 4 months that she was incarcerated. And do you know what she did while she was in jail? She taught other inmates English. Extraordinary to me. And so what a privilege it was to stand in the gap with this young person who truly means so much to me. Well, the story's not over yet, my friends. It goes on when you stand with people, because as a deferred action child arrival, she now was afraid that she wouldn't get her DACA renewed, because she had that arrest record, and we did everything to get it expunged. And we said, look, it was false charges. You can't do that. We had immigration attorneys. We had the public defender. We went down to see him, talked to the district attorney, all of the things we did to advocate. And good news, she got it renewed because of the advocacy of myself and many others who thought that that injustice had to be made just. And so here is a life, beloved of God, that now will go out, I know, in her studies on Latino studies, will be doing many things for many other young people that have experienced the pain that she has experienced. And then the renewal of God working through us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so as we heard in the gospel reading, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in prison. I had no home. I was tired. I was sick. So when were you all these things? We don't remember that. And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And so this evening, I just want to invite you, because it's the beginning of the Lenten season, to sit just for a few minutes in contemplation, because the Lord can use and speak through all of us. And that's the awesome truth of our relationship with God, who calls us into his service and does not abandon us, but is with us in it. In fact, I just have to tell you that he gave something to me today, because I came here from my laundry ministry. I'm down at the coin op on Sundays from 3 to 5, and I offer students, I do their laundry for them. Anybody know how much it costs to do a load of laundry these days? $6.50. Well, there's some machines that are $4.50. Yeah, there are. So you probably don't. Yeah, and then of course you have to dry them too, right? And so I approach the students and I say, I'm the Episcopal chaplain and I'm here to pay for your laundry. I'm not a scam artist, you know, because one of the kids thought I was. And I said, I don't know what my scam would be, but I'm here to give you a blessing, because people hand me money when I'm retired resident deacon at St. Andrew's, and I'll be walking out on a Sunday morning, and there's people who will say, here's $20 for your laundry ministry, because they know where I'm going. And so I said, it's just people that want to give you a blessing. And then I give them these little buttons, hashtag IBIY, also given to me by some people at St. Andrew's, I believe in you. And those kids take that like it's the Eucharist, and they go like this every time, and they put it on their backpack. They want to know someone believes in them. But today I had a student from the Arab Emirates, and I said that to him, and I said, you know, and it just came over me, and I really believe it was the Spirit. I said, you know, in our Christian tradition, we are called to wash each other's feet, but today I'm called to wash your clothes, and it's the same thing, right? It's servanthood. So I just want you now, underpinned by the wonderful music of our jazz musician, Mason, I want to invite you to sit with the Spirit now and be reminded about where you stand in the gap with another, or where God is leading you to stand. Is it with a child or a partner? Someplace in your community? Maybe a vocation that's starting to bubble up inside of your heart? What do you wonder about the way of the world and where you fit into the gap between your worldview and God's kingdom? Where might you have the opportunity to learn about your own spiritual journey and your relationship with God from standing in the gap between the suffering of the world and the glory of heaven? Those are big questions, dear friends. But with God, all things are possible, and it only takes a spark. It only takes a spark to get a movement going. So just take a few minutes now in the quietness of this beautiful sanctuary and have a conversation with Abba. And at the end of this time of quiet, I will say amen, and then we will go on to the rest of our service tonight. And now I hope you'll continue your conversation and prayer with God, and continue to believe in the power of our Father. Amen. Thank you, Mason.
O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away any arrogance and hatred which infest our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes here on earth, that all nations and races may serve in you in harmony. Amen.
Let's pray together Jane Goodall's prayer for world peace. We pray for social justice, for the alleviation of the crippling poverty that condemns millions of people around the world to lives of misery, hungry, sick, and utterly without hope. We pray for the women and children who are starving, who are condemned to homelessness, slave labor, and prostitution, and especially for those forced to fight, to kill, and torture even members of their own family. We pray for the victims of violence and war, for those wounded in body, and for those wounded in mind. We pray for the multitudes of refugees forced from their homes to alien places through war or through the utter destruction of their environment. We pray above all for peace throughout the world. And together we let us say Jim Cotter's original version of the Lord's Prayer that's in the Prayer Book of New Zealand. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. And again from the prayer book of the New Zealand Church, the prayer for the night. Lord, it is night. The night is for stillness. Let us be still in the presence of God. It is night after a long day. What has been done has been done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be. The night is dark. Let our fears of the darkness of the world and of our own lives rest in you. The night is quiet. Let the quietness of your peace enfold us, all dear to us, and all who have no peace. The night heralds the dawn. Let us look expectantly to a new day, new joys, new possibilities. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And together let us give thanks. We give thanks for all God's gifts, for the beauty and wonder of creation in earth and sky and sea, for our daily food and drink, our brothers and sisters, our friends, for minds to think, hearts to love, and hands to serve, for health and strength to work, and leisure to rest and play. For the brave and courageous who are patient in suffering and faithful in adversity. For all valiant seekers after truth, liberty, and justice. For all these things and more, we give you thanks, great God of all that is, whose love is everlasting. Amen. And now the blessing of God, the eternal goodwill of God, the shalom of God, the wildness and warmth of God, be among us and between us, now and always. Amen. And please join us in the parish hall for chili and cornbread. And if you can't stay for the meal or don't want to, please come, though, and greet Kathy and thank her for her ministry and her work and for bringing that to us. And to thank Mason and Danny and Bennett and John for their great gift to us this evening and the joy they bring us. Thank you.